السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين ومن الشكارين. آمين. وصلي وسلم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد في الأولين، وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد في الآخرين، وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد في النبيين، وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد في المرسلين، وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. آمين. My dear brothers and sisters, we started to study together Surah Ar-Rahman last time, which is about 3 weeks ago. And I believe we covered the first 6 ayahs. So in summary, as you remember, Surah Ar-Rahman can be summarized as a manifestation of the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the quality of Rahmah. And it is not about the general quality of Rahmah, but it is the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And it is summarized in the first ayah, which is Ar-Rahman, the source of all Rahmah, the ultimate of all Rahmah, which is the merciful love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the rest of the surah, you could say, is details or an explanation of or a description of Ar-Rahman. So we talked about that this is unique in that Allah's name is the entire first ayah. And that this surah reminds us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us through this surah of some of his blessings, some of his rahmah, some of his ni'mah, his blessings, and his favors. And of course, it's not comprehensive in the sense that it mentions every favor, because you could take all the inks in the ocean and all the trees could become pens and you could not still compile the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our focus by reminding us about some major things, starting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ, that he taught you the Qur'an, which is the ultimate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, because it is only through the Qur'an that we can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only through the Qur'an that we can succeed in our lives in the dunya and after, hereafter, and it's only through the Qur'an that we can approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey him and worship him as he wants. So we must remember that one of the greatest favor is that Allah has given us hidayah, he's given us guidance, he has taught us the way to get back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get back to our home in Jannah from where we came. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that as the first ayah, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ, and then he says that he created us, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, and he gave us, taught us communication, bayan, to understand, to explain, to make things clear, to communicate like no other of his creation can, that the language skills and the skills of communications have been perfected in this one creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we can understand and communicate in thousands of languages, the most complex of thoughts. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the universe by talking about the sun and the moon and how he created them for us. And here we must remember that it's not like these things were created and then we just took advantage of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of this for us. Before creating us, he created all of this. And it was custom created for us. It isn't like Allah created it for the universe and then he just put man in there. Okay, you can also enjoy what I have created. They were specifically created for us. And we talked about what the sun does. Why is the sun such a blessing? And if we just think at a superficial level, we will say, well, it gives us light, it gives us heat, you know, it makes the trees green. But it's, if you really go into the science of the sun, there is hundreds and thousands of things that come out as a result of creation of the sun that we take advantage of, you know. Some that we know, like vitamin D that we know now that they didn't know then, and so on and so forth. That if the sun was in there, if the light of the sun is taken away, there will be no light and there will be no life. Okay. Similarly, the moon, which is just a little satellite that's rotating around the earth. And we know it to say, well, we have, it's a nice, beautiful night. And we when we are in love, we compare our sweethearts to the full moon and all of that. But it's much more than that. It has to do with the tides and what happens in the oceans. It has to do with the keeping of the months that we didn't know, that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan and perform Hajj at the right time and so on and so forth. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a tilt between the orbits of the sun and of the earth and the moon of 5.1 degree. And that makes all the difference. If it wasn't, all of the phenomenon that you see would not take place. So it's such a precise system. And then you have, this is just two or three items, the earth, the moon, and the sun that I mentioned, just in this solar system, and then the galaxies. And you have billions of galaxies that are created, that you look at the North Star, and you look at the Big Dipper and the Small Dipper, and you can navigate at night through the oceans without any navigation system that people have done forever. Okay. All of that are there, and yet they move in at such tremendous speeds, but they're not colliding with each other. All of this is going on for people to understand that there is this super system running as a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then and this is just briefly recapping this, because if we can spend a whole session just on one ayah if we go into the details of it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, one najmu wa shajru yasjudan, that he talked about the stars and the trees, that they prostrate themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said one interpretation of najm is the plants that don't have the thick trunk. Okay, in other words, whatever is in the heavens, which is the stars and so on, and whatever is on the earth, they prostrate, they do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every creature is an umam, it's an ummah of itself, like the ummah of the ants, the ummah of the birds, the ummah of the fish. And they are all in tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know their Lord and they praise their Lord continuously. The trees, the rocks. And we saw that miracle that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had some stones, some pebbles, rocks in his hand. And the Sahaba heard what? The tasbih from the rocks. So what was the miracle? The miracle is not that the stones were doing tasbih, they do that anyway. The miracle was that the Sahaba were able to, Allah made them able to hear that. Okay. So everything is in tasbih, submission. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not just saying tasbih, he is saying yasjudun. Yasjudun. Sajda. What does sajda mean to all of you or any of you? What does sajda mean to?
I don't want to.
Submission.
Full submission.
Full submission. Okay. Means, and as we are taught, when we are in sajda, we are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now look at it this way. When I am in sajda, I am claiming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I submit to your will completely. And now I'm admitting this when I am closest to you, which is in sajda, right? Now, if I claim that, and then I go and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know this is what Allah ordered and I don't do it. What does that make me? That even in my sajda, I am lying to Rabbul Alameen. I am closest to you and I am still lying to you that I submit when I have not submitted. That I know you told me don't do this and I am still doing it. You told me to do this and I am still not doing it. And yet I claim that I submit to you. This is something to reflect on. Something to reflect on. This is very serious. In other words, five times, say, if we just do the faraid, 17 rak'ah, 34 sajdas, 34 times a day, I lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I'm claiming, and you, to one who already knows what's inside me and what I'm doing. Allahu Akbar. So this should open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts. Ya Allah, I do tawbah to you starting right now. And I will lead my life in obedience, in full submission. I cannot say that I'm going to do this when I retire, that I'm going to be good when I do this. I'm going to be good once I've done Hajj. I'm going to obey you after such and such. Submission means sami'na wa ta'ala. We heard. We cannot claim ignorance. Ya Allah, I did not know that this is wrong. I did not know that salah was not fard. I didn't know that such and such thing was not commanded by you. Yet I claimed I did, but I did not. So this is something that we all need to reflect on, yes.
Well, my reflection is, we as human beings, we submit. We want to do, but sometimes we make mistakes. It's not our intent. So when we do a sin of omission or commission, and it is not our intent, we do it. That's why we do maghfirah all the time. Allah, I didn't know that. So there's a degree of.
So that is is something different. We're talking about someone who knowingly and persistently does not do something that they're supposed to do, or do something that they are not supposed to do. If you have a lapse here and there, we are all bani adam. That's a different thing. But if you are persisting on doing something, okay, it's not like you had a slip one time, or you're persistent on not doing something, okay, you were very busy, you looked, especially in the winter time, asr time had gone, okay. It's a different situation. But I say, well, this five times salah is impractical, especially in the West, and that was 1400 years ago. Allah is in my heart. When I come home at night, I can communicate with him. I'll do all my salahs at that time. And I do that as a habit. Okay, that's different. So just to point that out. So inshallah, we will start from there. That's where we had finished last time. Any other question or comments before we start? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Was-samaa'a rafa'aha wa wada'a al-mizan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the heavens, the sama', we can use the word skies, if you will. It's frequently translated as heavens. But sometimes people confuse heaven with Jannah, paradise. There's a difference, okay? So we have seven samawat and we have Jannah beyond that. So if you call them skies, you call them heavens, seven heavens, and then there is paradise. Paradise is different than this, okay? What you see in the universe of stars and planets and galaxies, this is in the sama'ul ard, which is the first heavens or first skies. And there are seven of them, each one unbelievably bigger. What is the comparison? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us after he had come back from his miraculous journey. He said, everything that you see, this is sama'ud dunya. Okay, this is level one, you know, first grade. And he said, this first heaven compared to the second heaven is, he gave an example. Anybody remember? He said, it's a halaqa. It's a ring the size of a ring thrown into an open desert. That is the comparison of the first heaven to the second. And then he said the comparison of the second to the third is like a ring in the desert. So just imagine, multiply all of them. Then he said the seventh heaven compared to the arsh, compared to the kursi, is like a ring in the desert. So this tells you the creation and how vast it is and what little we know. What we see, scientists tell us, 14.2 billion light years across. So 14.2 billion multiplied by the speed of light, by, you know, that will give you of what is the known universe, and that's expanding still. It hasn't come to a halt, and then it'll start to contract at some point. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, wa rafa, he raised, wa sama'a rafa'a, rafa'a, he elevated it. So you don't see, you know, like you have a tent, like a shamiana, you see something caving in here. Elsewhere in Surah Mulk, that most of you read at night, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look in the heavens and see if you can find a fault in it, find a defect in it. And he said, look again, karratan, again. وَيَنْقَلِبْ بَصَرُ, your eyes will return with fatigue and you will not find any flaws in it. And this is just what we see. Now, they're talking about gates in there. They're talking about black holes, and they're talking about so many things that we have no clue of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. He's talked about abwab as-samawat, gates, okay, which we don't know about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, telling us, look around what was created for you. Because he tells us elsewhere in the Quran that I created all of this to serve you. And I created you
to serve me.
And you can't really serve me because I don't need to be served, but to worship me and recognize me and do what I ask you to do. If I tell you to do this, you do this. That's all it is. وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. Mizan, everybody knows, the balance.
Yes.
So Allah says he set the balance. Now, what does that balance mean to you? Something to reflect about. What is the balance you're thinking of?
A scale of justice.
With justice.
Divine justice.
Absolutely. That everything that Allah created is with justice. And Allah deals with everybody with justice because he is Al-Adl. But that's for himself. Is there any other justice to be done?
By us.
That we, as his Khalifa, as his representative on earth, every Jummah, the brothers go for Jummah, and the khutbah ends with, Inna Allah ya'murukum bil adl wal ihsan. Allah, indeed, Allah orders you justice. Every Friday we hear this. Right? And then you go in the parking lot and you see how unjustly people have parked their cars. Right? Before that, just go to the shoe rack. If you're lucky, you will not trip over somebody's shoes and fall over. Where is the justice? You know what justice means? Justice, adl, versus the opposite of justice is injustice, which is called dhulm. Justice means to give everything its due. Use everything the way it is meant to be. Put everything where it should be, including your shoes. Now suppose all of us had come here, I'm being a little silly, and everyone said, okay, take your shoes off, and everybody would put their shoes on top of their heads. Would that be justice? It's injustice. This is meant to be on the head, shoes are meant to be on the feet. Okay. So Allah commands us justice. He is just. And nobody's going to question him, are you just? But Allah commands us to be just. So this balance is that of justice. Now, what is justice in our daily lives? Suppose I have a young son and I prove to him that I am in charge, I am the father, I will do what I want and I want you to do whatever I want, whether it's just or unjust. Do you think that's justice? Because he is smaller and I am bigger. Well, if that's my justice, just remember, whenever injustice is done, it comes back. So then you'll hear, when you're old and he's strong, he will treat you the same. Everything that we do, that deviates from justice will have an impact, has consequences. Everything has to be used the way. Give you an example from the Tabi'in, which is the second generation after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a well-known Tabi'in story that this Tabi'i had memorized the Quran, and he himself says that one day for a few minutes I did not guard my eyes. Ghadd al-basar, what I should have done. I was looking at someone in a certain way that I should not. And that night I told myself, he said, you will pay for this at some point. And he said, wallahi, 40 years later, I forgot the Quran. Then I remembered. You know why you forgot the Quran? Because of that one injustice that I had done. Now, different people at different levels. Okay. But whatever we do, we will see the results of it, either immediately or later. And we may not even link the two together. Suppose I've been unjust to my spouse and I didn't pay attention. Something will come around where I will have the consequences of that. So it's very, very important that every matter we deal with justice. What else is justice? Balance. You're hearing about this. Global warming. That we have moved the scales of justice. Everything. If you burn too much fuel, if you do this, if you dig too much, if you cut too many trees, it will have an impact. We are seeing that, right? Things are changing. Take simple thing. Food is a necessity. You should eat. But if you start eating before the halaqa, and you eat during the halaqa, and you eat after the halaqa, is that justice?
Yes.
No. Yes. Yes. Then you will see the consequences of that justice. So food in its right amount is necessary. That's
food
justice. If you eat too much, is it harmful to your health or good for your health? Even things like that. Water. Just last week, this week, I had a young lady who came in who had 2 grand convulsions, epileptic attacks. Guess what had happened? Nothing wrong with her.
Too much water.
Too much water. Her sodium dropped to 114. She had 2 convulsions. She was admitted in Hartford, St. Francis. Balance. You know, when you test your blood, they test your pH. Should be what? 7.4. My wife's saying move on to the next ayah. But I'm trying to drive a point that everything is in balance, no matter what you look. And I want you to think about it, to reflect on this, because the idea is not to go through this whole thing and finish up. That this balance permeates into every aspect of our life, every single thing. And the ultimate balance is the guideline that Allah has said that this is balance, not this, not this. Okay. So if we keep balance in our lives, we will do well. Justice. The Prophet ﷺ went on to, let me correct that. I'm not sure. But our scholars have said that a disbelieving nation who does justice, Allah will elevate them. And a Muslim nation that does injustice, Allah will bring them down. That's how important justice is. Okay. So let us look into our lives and see, do we have justice in our lives? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about after the balance, he says, Allah tatgaw fil mizan, and don't exceed in the balance. Means don't do dhulm in any way. Little dhulm, big dhulm. And the ultimate of dhulm is what? Inna blank la dhulmun azim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. What is that blank?
Shirk.
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 Inna shirka la dhulmun adheem. The ultimate injustice is that the one who has created all of this, you either deny him or associate partners with him. That's the ultimate of the peak of dhulm. But every level below that. Allah tatghaw fil mizan. Do not transgress, do not exceed those bounds of justice, of mizan. And ultimately, we depend on the justice because there is a day of justice. And there is mizan on that day. Allah's mizan. And there is no injustice. Then again, stressing that, three ayahs. وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ and establish the weight properly. أَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ will justice. Weight, now if you want to take it in, you're trading, you're selling grain. You can take it literally in that. And you know what do we do in our countries most times? The balances, you put something on it, they call it dandi marna. They have their own ways of weighing less, giving you less than what they're charging you for. And that permeates in many other things, including in our professions, whatever profession is. You're working as a salaried employee, and half the time or quarter of the time or even 1 minute of the time you spend in personal things, like checking my email. You're being paid by someone else. That is tilting. You're not giving the full due of what we do. Allah says, don't, wala tukhsirul mizan. Don't fall short. If you're going to make a mistake, give them more. But don't give less. So this is very, very important. Again, this is something that we need to reflect on from our own personal lives, because everyone's experience is different. You know, that I don't cheat anyone, because even if I give more, guess what's going to happen? Allah will put barakah in that. But if I cheat people, that balance will be adjusted on the Day of Judgment, but will also be adjusted here. Allah will create circumstances where the barakah will finish from your wealth and possessions and family and whatever else, whatever Allah decides. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after stressing three ayahs on justice and mizan, says, "Wal arda wada'aha lil anam." Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us to another one of His creation, which is that the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wada'aha, He has spread it out, He has laid it out, lil anam, for His creatures. Now we can look at that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out the earth, and on top of the earth He has put water in certain areas. What's about 71% of the surface is water. For His creatures, anam. Now, we have no clue of what the creatures are. We know some things. We know things that fly in the air, some of those. We don't know every type of bird. We know some of the things that crawl on the earth. We know some of the things that live under the earth. We know the big things, you know, the ones, you know, we go to safaris and this and that, and deer and turkey and all of them. But this is just a small sampling of the creation. And if you go under the water, the creation there is unlimited, unknown, many times the creation what we see on the earth. Allah has laid it down. What does lay down means? That He has created a habitat for all of these things. That from that earth they will all find their risk. They are all living there. It's not coming from the heavens. It's all placed there. In such a balance that one supports the other, the ecosystem. Yes, the big fish will eat the little fish, and then this and so on, and all of that, but it's all there. The complexity is, if you make one change, like they said, this killer bees have come from Japan or somewhere, special bees have come. They said, if they have come, and the bees have disappeared because they've killed these bees, and what changes? It's just a bee. The hives are gone. If the bees are gone, the pollination will stop ultimately. If pollination stops, the fruit and vegetables will not come. If that doesn't come, the animals will. It's all linked. It's not going to happen tomorrow. But it's so intricately linked with each other that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And He just says it, "Wal arda wada," we have spread it out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sort of downplaying the complexities of what he has done. Because, and then he leaves it for us to reflect and think about these things. And we should. You know, it's always a good idea to see some of these National Geographic videos and things and BBC, you know, all about the earth. It is so fascinating. Things that we haven't thought about, that we haven't seen. You know, spend some and reflect on all of that. What, you know, and everything you say, subhanAllah. It comes spontaneously from because you look at all of those. فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَالنَّخْلُ ذَاتُ الْأَكْمَامِ So in this earth, Allah says, we have created fruits. فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَالنَّخْلُ Nakhl is the palm trees, you know, the dates and all of that, in their clusters. ذَاتُ الْأَكْمَامِ And again, I don't think anybody, if all together, if we were to make an effort to count the fruits that we know of, we still wouldn't be able to count all the fruits that Allah has created. And then in each fruit, let's take an apple. There are over 100 varieties of apple. The apple farmer will tell you, this is this, this is this, this, and they are all distinct. And with the pears, and with the grapes, and in everything unique. So all of these were created for who? For you. To recognize the Rabb that He's providing, to enjoy them, so that at least you recognize Him and you say, Ya Allah, lak alhamd, You provided this. Rather than just take it for granted, which we do, eat here, we come here, we some, pick up one grape here, we do something, pick up something, pick, drink some juice. You know what has gone? What is behind that juice that is sitting here? Where did the water evaporate? Which ocean? Do you have any idea? No. Where did those clouds go? To what levels? No idea. Which angels pushed those clouds? Where did it rain? Which plants were growing there that were fed by that water? What came out of the earth to create this grape? And then who picked it up in which land? You have no idea. Put it together in a juice. Which truck companies carried it to which store, and then somebody else didn't pick it up because your risk was written. It ultimately it came here, and then it came into this household, and I thought it was mine, but it wasn't, because Dr. Mateen drank it, because it was written in his account. See, so we have no idea. We just take it. So give me some juice. Why think about that juice? Maybe you will not want to drink it. You'll say, Ya Allah, do I have permission to drink this? Will I be able to thank you enough for all the processes that have gone through to bring this to me? And that is the story with everything else that Allah has given us that we enjoy. Just mentions it. Fiha fakihatun. In it, there are fruits. Just generic Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. One nakhlu and dates. And there are hundreds of varieties of dates. Hundreds of varieties of dates. You go online and you will see. And they are distinct in taste. وَالْحَبُّ ذُو الْعَصْفِ وَالْرَيْحَانِ And the grain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the grains. He doesn't mention how many grains you have. From rice to wheat to corn to maize to, I mean, go on and on and on. With the husks on them, you know, asf, the husk on husked grain, and then how they are created, how they are saved from some for the birds, some for you, and then how they are, you know, the farmer does this and all the work that goes so that we pick up a little piece of bread, which we will have at least with no idea where it came from. We don't even know if it came from America or from somewhere across the oceans. Who was the farmer who sweated over it? Who watered it? Who ground it? A piece of bread. So we have to think. We have to be thinking people, because once we think what's behind this, inshallah, we'll develop some reasonable recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then only we'll be able to thank Him to some degree. Inshallah. May Allah make us among the ones who recognize Him, who see Him in everything, and thank Him. Then after all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the first time says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Now Allah is, as we said, in the dual format. Yeah. He's asking, then which of these favors of Allah do the two of you deny? The two of you we talked about last time. Anybody remember what the two of you are?
Jinn.
The jinn kind and the mankind. And everything from now is addressed both to jinn kind and mankind. فَبِأَيِّ then Allah says, فَ means I've given you a few samplings of what I have done. Then which of the favors of your Lord do you or you two deny? And last time we said, this is the ayah that keeps recurring. How many times? Anybody remember? We mentioned it last time. 31 times. 31 times. Repetition. Why? Because we are creatures who learn by repetition. Keep hammering till it becomes. You want to memorize the Quran? You got to keep doing, repeating. Anything. You want to become skilled at a job? You got to keep doing. You want to become a good doctor? Experience. Therefore, they ask you, how long have you been doctor? It's a day before yesterday. I said, can you find someone else for me? Because I want you to be doing this for 10 years before I want to trust my body to you. In everything, repetition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hammering this at us in a very unique way. By asking a question. He's asking a question. Which of the favors do you deny? And the answer is obviously what the jinn gave. What did the jinn say to them when they heard this ayah? Anybody remember what they responded in English?
They said, I remember, but I forgot.
Anyone? لا بشيء من نعمك ربنا نكذب فلك الحمد. O our Lord, we do not deny any of your favors. Any of them. And to you is all praise. So we must remember this ayah will come after every one of two of the following ayahs. And then I want everyone to correlate. Allah says this, then how does it fit with this? Because I will ask you, there are some where you might be challenged a little bit to say, how does this fit with فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to the creation of mankind. He says, خلق الإنسان من صلصال كالفخار. خلق الإنسان. Now you were created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from clay. Like potter's clay, like clay that dried. You know, potter's, once you, those who have come from, you have seen pottery clay, when it becomes hard, then you it makes a sound. Tung, 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 you make a sound. Pottery, potter's clay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying now, that خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ. That like pottery. Now he had said that we created all of this. We created the earth. We spread out the earth. We created the earth for as a means for all of the creatures, for their sustenance and all of that. And then he said, we created you from this also. You are part of this earth. Because your ingredients are exactly what this earth contains. Nothing that the body has is not what is from the earth. So what does that mean? Let me also tell you that Allah mentions we created you from dust. We created you from water. when you say clay, means the same ingredients, water and mud and dust mix becomes clay. And so there are different mentions of the same thing. So somebody, you know, if you say from clay, it's correct. If you say from water, it's correct. If you say from dust, it's correct. It's all the same. But what is it telling us? The earth is laid out in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a piece of that earth stands up 6 feet tall, what should he be doing? He should still be in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's his origin. He shouldn't feel, oh, I am the Burj Khalifa. I am so big. I am so tall. Why do I have to? So what is your origin? Dirt, dust. Even Iblis understood that, remember? He said, I am made from fire. I am better. He's made from dust, from dirt. Torah. So this should make us humble.
Humble beginnings.
Go to the other extreme. Humble beginnings and
end.
Humble end, because you will become the same dust again. So one time, this happened in Iraq. One arrogant Khalifa of the time, who had become monarchs with his whole entourage of armed guards, was going along in his journey, and he came across this faqir who was a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sort of challenged him. He said, ask me whatever you want, I will give you. He said, you have nothing that you can give me. He said, how dare you say that? I am the monarch Khalifa. He said, don't you know your origin? Don't you know who you are? No, he asked that man, you don't know who I am? He thought maybe he doesn't know. He said, I know exactly who you are. He said, who are you? He said, you are dirt. You will end with dirt. In between, you are a container carrying feces. That's who you are. Isn't that the reality? This should make us humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are dirt. We are mud. خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. Because both are being addressed, mankind and jinnkind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he created jinnkind from the flame of the fire. Some have translated it as smokeless fire, but a flame. مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. Now, there is a hint here. Is flame more stable or the earth is more stable? The earth is more stable. That Allah is telling us that your status is a little higher, that you have stability from the roots from which I created you. Whereas the jinns are more unstable. They are created from fire. This also Allah's wisdom. Yet the one who was created from the fire was arrogant about it. He, directly in front of a command of Allah, do sajda in front of Adam, he used his rationality. He said, this is injustice. Why? Because ana khairun minhu. I am better. Because I am from fire. And he's from dirt and dust. What that teaches us, that in front of a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you know Allah has said this, there is no logic to be used. No rationalization. Submission. Submission, not rationalization. If he had submitted, he was up there with the angels. When he rationalized against a command, he became the lowest of the low. And he is there as a prototype for us. If we submit, with no ifs, ands, or buts, we are above the angels. Higher than the angels, our status. And if we follow the path of Iblis, then we can fall below the levels of animals and everything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, no, they are worse than animals. And we see living examples of that. Look around what people are doing. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us our origins, and we don't go beyond that of how, but we need to know as part of our iman that we are created from this, and the jinns are created from fire. Now we don't need to go into too many details of the jinn kind. We believe in their creation, we know they exist, we know they are also questionable, we know that Iblis is one of them, and there are more details which we don't need to go into. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. That's reminding us that this is, look what I have created, one who Allah calls the best of his creation, أَحْسَنُ التَّقْوِيمِ, from dust. Isn't that a great blessing that I took the lowest things, dirt, and made the best of my creation? Isn't that a favor to you? Isn't that a favor? Isn't that... Karramna Bani Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have honored Bani Adam. Okay. Take something like that and made it into something like this. Okay. So, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us this. We could have been nothing. We could have been a hyena. We could have been a bird. We could have been a fish. We could have been a jinn. Yet Allah honored us to be from the Bani Adam, and then gave us extra honor by being in the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the special ummah. Rabbul Mashriqayni wa Rabbul Maghribayn. That's the next ayah, ayah number 17. Mashriq, everybody knows Mashriq? Shuruq means where it rises, rising. East we call it. Maghrib? Mashriq. Mashriqain means, that's a dual form, the two easts, or the two risings, and the two settings, two wests. So, a common interpretation of this is that the mashriq, the east of the summertime, and the east of the wintertime. As you see, if you see the sun rise, it rises over there in the summer, and in the winter it rises from there. So, the two extremes to east. And in similarly, when you see the settings, and in the winter it sets here, in the summer it sets there. So, two means Allah is the Rabb of that. Now, some have said, when you said the where the sun rises and where the moon rises, that the two rises as opposed to the direction, and where the two sets, the sun sets and the moon sets. We know both of those. Okay? That all of these phenomena of the moving of the that creates direction of sun and of the setting, that creates day and night, which is a blessing for us to sleep, to go out and earn, that creates for us months, creates all of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to look and reflect on that and think of that as a blessing, because it is. I mean, how often do you want? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he were to make night continuous, who would bring out the sun? What kind of life would that be? Just imagine. And if you can't imagine, go to the North Pole and live there in the winter time for 6 months and see what it's like when you won't see any light. And similarly, he says, if Allah were to make Ramadan day and brings no night, what would that be? Yet he alternates it. Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahar. And the alternation of day, there are blessings, there are signs of Allah. That you can rest, you can go to work, you look forward to the day, and so on and so forth. So, if just reflect of that, and what the summer does, what the winter does, what these movements do, there are favor. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabbul, now imagine the favor of the Rabb who created all of this. Rabbul Mashriqain. He is the Rabb of everything. East and west and everything in between in all directions. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wherever you turn your face, your Rabb is there. Which doesn't mean that you can pray in any direction. You still need to determine the Qibla and do that. But if you don't know, remember that. فَبِأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. then which of your Lord's blessings do the two of you deny? So again, every time we can go through this rapidly and we can finish this, but what I want to do is leave you with this thing of wanting on your own to reflect on each of these things. Because the more you reflect, the more impact it will have on your hearts, on my hearts. Okay? And it's endless. Sit alone by yourself or sit with your spouse or with your children. Let's talk about, let's reflect on these things. So from there, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ayah number 19, He brings us back to the earth. And there is a certain sequence that is there. Up there, down here, up there, down here, here, up. You will look at the sequence. If you reflect on it, you will find some extra special beauty because it's nothing is haphazard. It's Allah's arrangement. Maraj al-Bahrain yaltaqiyan. That Allah has allowed the Bahrain, the two seas or two bodies of water to come together, the freedom that they come together. Yaltaqiyan. Liqa, to mean, meet, that they meet. Okay. And as we said earlier, about 71% of the earth's surface, or 3/4 of the earth's surface, is water. And in that, all but 5% is salty water, which you can't drink. It goes in your nose. If you're on the beach, it burns. And if you go in the Dead Sea, that's even worse. And then you have, you move 5 yards, you've got fresh water. So wherever you see fresh water coming in, which you can drink, and they meet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانَ. Between them is a barzakh. There is a barrier that Allah has created. Okay. Fresh water fish will come to this and they will go back. Salt water fish will come to here and they will go back because they can't survive. They are made, custom made for each of those. And there are some that are made just to where the two come together, but there is a barrier. They don't transgress. In other words, salt water doesn't overrun completely into the... Even when the storm comes, yes, some few waves will come. But as soon as it's over, that balance is maintained. This also, this is the balance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that balance was upset, nothing would exist. If there was no salt in the seawater, universe would have ended long ago. Because it helps in the purification of all the garbage that we produce. Read about these things. We just say, oh, it's salty water. What is the benefit of that salt that Allah has put in certain proportion in the sea? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us again that He has brought two. And there are some areas, I have seen this in Turkey, and some people who have gone to Cape Town, they say we can see the two oceans coming together and you can see a line. And I've seen this in the Black Sea north of Turkey, where the rivers come in from the mountain. And I actually have pictures, clear border between the two. You see, that's the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't transgress each other. You know? Like I said, might move for a few feet here and there, but they will remain distinct. Because in that, there is sustenance for everybody. That's the balance that Allah has made. بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانَ. There is a barrier between them which they do not transgress, cross. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ. Now, we can only answer that, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ, if we study what the salt water does, what the fresh water does, and what the balance is there. And this was found, this 1400 years ago, this was revealed. And the scientists have since confirmed these sort of things, which you can now see, because they have means of testing. I mean, 1400 years, they couldn't check how much sodium does it have, what is the pH of this water, what is the calcium content. None of that was known. Allah told us in a simple way. Then, staying with the water, and the theme of the water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُمَا اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. That He takes out, comes out from that, from the water. Lu'lu is pearls. Marjan, coral. You see, beautiful coral. Now, who would have thought that under this water, you're going to find something in which there are going to be a beautiful little pearl? Who would have thought? there must have been that first human being, whether it was in Basra or whether it's somewhere else, who was just swimming and dived to the bottom and saw a shell. Said, oh, shell, let me take it. Brought it out, opened it. What is this? What is this? Have all of you opened a live shell to get a, you know, when you go somewhere, they will, you know, open it and a pink pearl will come out, real ones. It's beautiful. And it's there. For who? Nobody can see them. They're inside the shell. They're in the bottom of the ocean. For you and me, for our sisters. And similarly with the corals, the reefs. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Allah has created, and you take it out to beautify yourself. So that next time my sisters wear pearls, they should say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, I don't know which ocean or which river this came from and who brought it up, but you created it for me. Let me wear it, thanking you. And that's for the same thing with everything else. I mean, you can take that into all else that we, you know, take, you know, whether it's carbon that Allah put in the earth that then became diamonds and whatever else, and rubies and yakut, which we are going to talk about, and emeralds and all of those, that were all created for us. And then Allah subhanahu, and they were there forever. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the knowledge to discover them. Like all the laws of physics, just like these materials. I mean, who would have thought that if I keep digging in the earth, I'm going to find something black? And then I find black rock, I bring it out. What do I do with it? Someone was given the idea, try and light it. Then it becomes coal and you can keep warm with it. Who would have thought that you dig, I mean, you try digging in the backyard, after a while you get tired of this dirt. That you keep digging, some liquid will come out of it, which will then people will fight and kill over, called oil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put all of these treasures in the earth. And then he gave somebody the idea, now is the time for you to do this. Who would dig, you know, a mile into the earth? I mean, if I started digging in a mile in the earth and nobody knows what's going on, this guy's gone crazy, right? But look, and how to use it. All of that knowledge was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything that we use, no matter what we take, natural gas, where does it come from? Who put it there? Who discovered it? Who was made to discover it? Who was then given the idea of how to use it? How to package it? How to transport it? I mean, you have to transport gas. Nobody even knows how to transport gas. You can only do it in a certain container and you can pipe it. And all of those, that knowledge has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just from this ayah, you can go into all of the things that are from the earth that we use. Everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us one prototype of each, and then he leaves it for you to imagine and think and go and to reflect on it. And then just in case, once we've found all of this and we are doing all of this, and now we have first wooden ships and boats, then we have metal ships floating on the water. Now does that defy logic? You can't put a pin on a glass of water without it sinking. Now you've got hundreds of thousands of ton of metal floating on the water. And then we go and build these big cruise ships, you know, 10,000 people on it. They keep getting bigger and bigger, hundreds of thousands of tons, and they're walking like mountains on the water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we say, some of us who created some things like this would dare to make a statement such as, about 100 years ago, what was the statement of those who created, who not created, astaghfirullah, who built it?
Even if God wanted to sink the ship.
Even God cannot sink the Titanic. Really? How many voyages did it have?
One.
Not one. It finished before it got to its destination. Not even one. Right? Allah is reminding us, وَلَهُ الْجَوَارِ الْمُنْشَأَةُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ. And His, to Him belong, وَلَهُ, to Him, what? all of those big ships that look like mountains sailing across the water. Don't think that you invented or created it, that it's yours. It belongs to Allah because He takes it down when He wants. Okay, we see that all the time. He is the one, because what you built, all the material was given by Allah. All the expertise was given by Allah. No matter how, what kind of engineering, the brains that went behind it, the expertise, by Allah, all the computers that went behind it, was given to the brains and the chips and all of that. All the material was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the know-how was Allah. So it belongs to Him. But we take pride in what we create. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, وَلَهُ الْجَوَارُ الْمُنْشَآتُ وَلَهُ الْجَوَارُ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْعَالَمِ. Whatever you see floating across, you know, my yacht, my boat, my this, my ship, my cruise ship, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَبِأَيَّ أَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ أَتُكَذِبُ. The fact that it floats, like I was saying, defying the laws that heavy metal is floating on the water, this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he's saying, do you deny this blessing that I permitted this law to take place, that something so heavy can still float without sinking unless I command it to sink? So it's floating by my command and it sinks by my command. Don't just say it's yours. Okay? And we see that all the time. And he did that, why? So you can travel the earth and witness the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and find risk from Asia to United States of America and elsewhere. Right? That you travel the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Famshu, travel in the earth. Travel by land, travel by sea, travel by air. Again, you can look at this. Logically, should these airplanes be flying in the earth? They should be falling. So they fly by the command of Allah and they fall by the command of Allah. All of this is a blessing to facilitate life for us, make it beautiful and easy. Now, just in case there is any confusion that this belongs to me, this is mine and mine and mine because of my achievement, the next ayah says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everything that's on the surface, everything that's here, everything in creation is fan, will be what? Will perish, will be destroyed. So don't take pride in anything because this is only existing by the command. Everything depends on Al-Qayyum for its existence. There was nothing. There was no universe and there was Allah. And there will be no universe because it will reverse back to that. And there will be nothing left. Kullu man alayha fan. In everything in existence will perish, including the angels. The narration, Israfil alayhi salam is standing there with his, I shouldn't even use the hand, but with the sur ready for Allah's command. And one day when that command comes and he blows that, everything will die, including Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, everything gone. Then Allah will say, who remains? And then Israfil alayhi salam, you know, just imagine shaking over there, saying, Ya Allah, there's just you and me. So you die by my command also, and he will die. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Ana al-Malik, I am the king. Ayn al-Muluk, where are those who claimed kingship? Where are they? No, there's nobody there to answer. And he himself will answer, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Allah alone belongs. And then Allah will resurrect and all of that. So the universe will return to non-existence like it was. And then Allah will recreate that, bring this thing together in a new format. A new sun will come for the day of judgment. A new flat land will be laid out. What the origin of that is not, whether it's from the same earth, whether it's from different, and so on and so forth. And then hereafter, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us Don't attach yourself to things that are perishable. وَيَبْقَى الْبَاقِي. Who's al-baqi? The one who remains, Allah. وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ. Wajh, the countenance, the face of Allah remains. That's just the way. So when he says his face, we say Allah is a wajh. But we don't compare it with his face must be. There is no Allah is like, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Like nothing else no, of his creation. He says he has a wajh, he has a wajh. He says he has a yad, which means hand, but nothing comparable. Okay. So Allah says only his countenance, his face will remain, means only Allah remains, essentially. So who should you attach yourself to? Who should you pin your hopes to? On the dunya, or the bank account, or my power, or my weaponry? No. It will all perish. If it doesn't perish before you, you will perish before it. How many generals and kings left their armies and died? Let me see that all the time. The ones who created the atomic bomb and the hydrogen bomb. Where are the ones who created it? Who invented it? Gone. Nobody knows their names even. So, kullu man alayha fan. We should always remember that. ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm going to end after a few more. يسأله من في السماوات والأرض كل يوم هو في شأن. يسأله من في السماء. Everything that is on the earth and in the heavens, ask Allah. For what? For their needs. Either directly or indirectly, by words or by hal. If I'm dying, if a beast, if a deer is dying because of thirst, he may not ask by his term. Allah sees it. By his condition, Allah sends rain. So everything asks Allah for their needs. And for us, it's not just the physical needs of survival, it's our needs of the ruh, of our guidance and everything else. Kullu yasaluhu man fis samawati wal ard. Everything on the heavens and earth, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever they need. Kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. And every day he manifests that. He's actively handling all of that for everything. Somebody's asking for something. Somebody's asking for something. 5,000 different languages people are asking. Some people want protection for something. Somebody needs this. That's the human being. The jinn kinds are asking. The animals need something. The earth, you know, everything that's created is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just on autopilot. They still need. And they, in their own way, they ask Allah. Without even their asking, Allah knows their needs and fulfills their needs. Every day, the kind of complexities that Allah is not just handling, but causing to exist. So, nobody should feel that, you know, Allah is so busy, where will he have time for me? Or Allah is so busy, how will he know that I'm disobeying him in the darkness of my life somewhere, right? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So if he is providing you, and he is of all of you things, should you not be grateful? And which of these can you deny? I plan to do a few more, but we've gone 1 hour and 10. I think if it's okay, we will end with this ayah. Ayah number 30. What do you think? It's almost 8 o'clock, and then we'll try and complete it the next time, if possible. In 2 weeks, inshallah. So in summary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us through his creation, through ourselves, through what we've been provided, of all of these blessings which are part of his rahmah, the rahmah of Rahman, that he not only created you, but he provided everything that you need to recognize him, to thank him, to worship him. And he keeps asking us to reflect by making this statement over and over. Reflect, reflect, reflect. Because if you truly reflect, you will recognize him and you will show gratitude to him. So May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who reflect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who recognize him as he should be recognized. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are constantly in his dhikr and in his shukr. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us under his protective gaze. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always help us to worship him the way he wants, in spite of all of our failings and all of our weaknesses. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق الخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم.